Why do I conduct my show in this manner? Mundo!
Sweet mother of God, what is the holdup?
Eleanor!
Once again, something wonderful in my life has been turned into a giant crap fest.
Mundo!
Got a little bit more cock for you here.
Eleanor!
Bowtie boy got the big snaggeroonie.
Mundo!
Oh, six of my nipples are tingling.
Eleanor!
See why America loves him so much?
Mundo!
I'd like to smash you in the face with my shillelagh.
Eleanor!
I have no idea what's going on.
Mundo!
He was lying.
He said he never tells a lie.
He was lying when he said that.
Eleanor!
I want a cup.
Well, could you spell that?
C-U-P. I want to see you. Oh, my God.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Stomach batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
For God's sake, strap yourself down.
That's right. It's the show your bosses don't want you to listen to. The show that's going to tell you the truth about what's going on in the workplace. So wake the hell up. It's the Cup of Joe radio show. I am your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, the voice of the working man, the voice of the radical middle, and the voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Our engineer, Sock Puppet Sam, is here!
Glad to be here, Joe.
And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, but first, Sam, give us the URL for the site.
That's cupojoe.blogspot.com.
And the email address.
joevec@bellsouth.net.
All right, I want to welcome all of my fans listening in at the White Rose Society. That's whiterosesociety.org. My good friend Ben Birch hosting my archives there. And, of course, all my fans at rantsradio.com listening in on Thursdays and Sundays. It is Sunday, approximately 9 p.m. on September the 5th as I'm recording this. If you're listening on Rant Radio for the first time, no, this is not a live show. I do a pre-recorded show. In fact, I think I'm not 100%, but I think I'm the only person on Rant Radio who does a pre-recorded show, who doesn't do a live show. There are several reasons for that. I like to have a little bit more control over the content, and I like to make myself sound a little bit better than I would if I were live. How you doing? I'm Joe Vecchio, as I mentioned before. It's been an interesting week at work. We actually got very busy from Wednesday through Friday, and it was just interesting to me the way some things pan out at work, the way some things happen, and I'm just a little surprised at how certain things go on. And I look at the management, because all the problems that we have at the shop boil down to the upper management not really paying enough attention to what's going on in our shop. And if you work in a big plant like I do, I'm sure you face the same kind of problems. And because my plant is a manufacturing plant, the plant where I work is a manufacturing plant, you know, everything really depends upon how efficient we are at putting out numbers of objects. And we had some things go on. For example, now we build circuit boxes where I work, electrical circuit boxes, breakers, switches, and stuff like that. Big boxes, small boxes, we make all kinds. And we do everything ourselves. We get it, you know, straight from sheet metal that is pressed into boxes. And, you know, the boxes are put in. What I do is I'm one of the guys that puts the pieces in the box, different pieces of the breakers and the things that hold the breakers in and the big bus bars and all that stuff. And there are really only two main boxes that we put together, and I know them both very well, and I know which parts go where, you know, as far as what I'm doing anyway. And it's really very simple. I either put in 8 screws or 6 screws or 4 screws in different areas. I know which ones I use and blah, blah, blah. And Very often we get slowed down because somebody in the behind the line. If you've never worked on a production line before, what you have to understand is it's like working on a big model kit. We start with the empty box that's been made and has been painted, and you move it down the line, and each person puts in a couple of items till it gets to the very end when it's completed and tested and boxed up and shipped out the door. And usually we do with big 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 companies like Home Depot. You can buy a lot of our stuff at Home Depot. And Siemens is a big company, a big multinational company. But where I'm at, I put in just a couple of parts. And like I said, if you work in a production line, that's how things go. I just put in a couple of parts, and I slide it on down to the next person who puts on. But very often, the people at the far end of the line have run out of something. And so we have to wait for them to get their part, because once they stop, everything holds up because they can't do it. And our line was held up. We were putting within the one box twice. Our line was held up because the guy behind me, who puts a couple of labels on and puts a couple of brackets on the side and a little internal thing, which he rivets in with a simple little rivet gun, he ran out of one part. And he ran out of one part one day, so we started to work on another box that had different parts in it, because we didn't have enough parts to finish the order. And then we get on to the next day, and the first shift people are doing their own thing, and we're switching over to, well, we're starting to work on what the first, finishing what the first shift started. And then we switched over to the box that we were making the other day, where we ran out of that part. And guess what? We still don't have any of those parts. And it took them a while to locate some. They dug some out somewhere. I believe that had been ordered or had been made and sent there, but were not available the other day. But no one realized that they needed to go out and look for these parts, or even, I don't even know if they realized that we had any at that point. And then when we finish up with that, we realize that we don't have enough circuit breakers for the box that we're using. And what we do is we just decide to change out and use a different circuit breaker. It's the same basic box, but it's a different unit. 100 amps versus 150 amps, whatever. Bigger switches, bigger breakers, but basically the same thing. As far as I was concerned, I was putting in the same object and only change further on down the line. Let me get some water here. Hang on. Professional radio, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm looking at stuff like that goes on, and I'm wondering, are the people up on top just incompetent that they can't see these things? I mean, that's really, you know, we never see our not the group leader, the process leader who is in charge of not just our area but of several areas, and he's usually over by line 2. All the different production lines have numbers. We're on line 9. And the big one, the main one, they call the money line, is line 2, because they put out a lot of stuff. So he hangs out mostly on the money line and doesn't even bother with us very much. So he doesn't really know what's going on. But the people above him don't seem to care either. And that's just a big thing. And I just sometimes wonder. I wonder why it is that things are like that. Do they just not care? And the guy I drive home from work every night, he made an interesting point. He said maybe the place is just a big tax write-off. Now, Siemens is a big, big multinational company. They really are. And they do a lot of high-tech stuff and a lot of different things. And they have this plant is basically, I call it the arm plant, the armpit of Siemens. Because really, we're fairly low-tech. I mean, Siemens does a lot of really, really high-tech stuff. When I went to get an X-ray, the machine that took my X-ray was made by Siemens. And I joked about it. The guy said, oh, it's made by a company you work with. Well, you must be real happy. And I said, not if it was built by the people I work with. But, yeah, they have our place is basically the very low-tech, low-end area of Siemens. And they might just say, well, you know, this place isn't, you know, makes a little bit of profit or might lose a little money. But you know what? We can use it as a tax write-off. And that may just be the case, because it's the only thing to me that would explain why the upper management at the shop, and I'm not talking about the upper management above them, because there is management above them within the Siemens organization, why they don't really seem to care about these things. They're happy with the turnover rate of the workers. They're happy with the lack of efficiency in getting parts there and, you know, having the line held up. And, I mean, we put out 200-something parts one day, and we could easily do double that if we had everything there and ready for us and didn't have to worry about stopping and getting more when we ran out, if it was all provided for us by people whose job it is to make sure we have enough parts, then we could easily put out twice that amount. I'm very certain we can. It would be a little tough, at least as far as being strenuous is concerned, but I'm sure we can do it. And it sometimes bothers me that things like that just don't get done. I mean, it just makes sense to me because I'm thinking, as I mentioned in one of my previous shows, I think about the work and not the job. The job is very different from the work because the job is inter-office politics, and the job is knowing when to keep your mouth shut, and the job is knowing when to hide when you have to hide. You know, that's what the job is. It has very little to do with the work. And I'm always thinking in terms of the work. And that is a good way to drive yourself crazy. To be perfectly honest, it's a good way to drive yourself absolutely up the friggin' wall. Is that the way where you work? I mean, even in smaller shops, it's like that. Does it seem like things are intentionally bad because they just don't care enough one way or the other? I recently got in touch with an old friend of mine from Florida, whom I hadn't talked to in a little while, and I said, you know, maybe we should go into business together. Because he used to manage some pizza places, and I've got some management experience too. I'm a very good day-to-day operations kind of guy, and he's got the experience in the financing and supply in that area, and, you know, I could help him along that, and, you know, we could each handle a little bit of everything, and we do pretty good together. The question is, what kind of store would we want to open up? And the more I work in the manufacturing industry, certainly, the more I want to go into business for myself. And I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. And one of the problems we have now is that when people want loans, they really can't ask for a small loan. They have to ask for a big loan because that's the only way they're going to get an investor to listen to them. You know, if you ask for big money, they expect big returns, basically. And that's what investors are looking for. So maybe together we can work at something to figure out a way we can make money or have a business that justifies that kind of money for startup cash. So, but we'll see, you know. And they say that hard economic times are what causes a lot of people to do that. I mean, if you're safe and secure in your job and you know you're not going to get fired and your job is comfortable enough, the odds are, and you're making enough money, of course, the odds are that you don't want to change that. You're very happy where you are. And a lot of people, that's perfectly fine. And I would be like that if I had a job that I really enjoyed because, again, I don't live for the job. I do the job because I want to live. You know, I work to live. I don't live to work, as the saying goes. Anyway, let's take a little break here. We're going to hear from our friends at BuzzFlesh.com, plus a couple other things, and we'll come back in a few. Sam, play us out.
We'll be right back with more of the Tucker Joe Radio Show.
Welcome back to the BuzzFlash.com GOP Hypocrite of the Week. Today, we honor all the Republicans at the Republican National Convention, from George W. Bush down to the alternate delegates from the bluest of states. Being a Republican nowadays must be a bit like being the child of an abusive, philandering confidence man. You know that your daddy is a hurtful, pathological liar, but you hang on tight to his pants leg because believing the lies is safer than the insecurity of admitting the truth. And in their grand attempt at distracting the nation from the truth, this week the Republicans lathered themselves in layer after layer of hateful vitriol. The Madison Square Garden was filled with the acrid smell of vile venom, crassness, and hypocrisy as the wealthy Kool-Aid drinkers paraded out their best liars for the world to see. Mark Twain wrote in Huckleberry Finn that you can't pray a lie, but the Republican Party closes their eyes, bows their unified head, and sure tries. Nothing stops Bush, Cheney, Miller, and their band of frothing comrades from practicing a mendacity so resistant to the truth and so morally repugnant that it is beyond comprehension. Even as Bush claims to stand next to God and asserts that God's word was behind his reckless adventures and failures, the GOP conclave in New York City proved Mark Twain right once again. You can't pray a lie, George W. Bush. God, we are certain, has found you out. We can only hope that a majority of Americans awaken from this delusion in time to save our great nation from the Republican ship of fools and the con men at its helm. Otherwise, democracy, for those individuals once privileged enough to enjoy its joyous freedom, will be nothing more than a distant memory. To every Republican who celebrated in the big convention lie this week, we crown you the GOP Hypocrites of the Week. Until next week, remember our motto at BuzzFlash.com. So many Republican hypocrites, so little time. Catch up with you soon.
Green dead eyes telling them big lies, hoping that the world buys what they sell. Right wing think tank radio, hate tank making that big bank and raising hell. Treat you like a nitwit, better get over it. They're stupid and proud of it cause they don't care. Rights on a rollback, country on the wrong track. You know they got theirs, Jack, and they won't share. They all talk about freedom but treat it like it's so obscene. They're working hard to keep you distracted. When all else fails, they crank up the fear machine.
Our government has credible evidence. They are a piece of terrorism. Terrorists in the information age.
Yeah, when all else fails, they crank up the fear machine.
Our government has credible evidence.
Foreign terrorists found within our borders.
Terrorism, 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 terrorism.
But the outlook is very, very grim.
China's in the basement, shredding all the documents. Someday soon you're gonna wonder where your rights went. Don't ask, don't know, do it cause we say so. One bad word and we'll ship you off to Gitmo. Might be a terrorist, put you on the blacklist. Friendly little arm twist, that's okay. Their law, their rules, acting like it's high school. Play it for the same fool every day. They all talk about freedom, but treat it like it's so obscene. They're working hard to keep you distracted. When all else fails, they crank up the fear machine.
Our government has credible evidence.
They are a piece of terrorism. Terrorists in the information age.
Yeah, when all else fails, they crank up the fear machine.
Our government has credible evidence.
Foreign terrorists found within our borders.
Very, very grim.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful. And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we.
Straight, shout out, demonstrate. Hope we're not too late to turn around. Rise up, fight back, never cut a nose slack. The only way to take it back is vote on down. We're right there, wrong, better when they're all gone. Wanna fight, bring it on, cause we ain't scared. Think you got the fight, run, sorry, but you're wrong, son. Better watch your back, cause we're everywhere. They all talk about freedom, but treat it like it's so obscene. They're working hard to keep you distracted. When all else fails, they crank up the fear machine.
Our government has credible evidence.
They are a piece of terrorism. Terrorists in the information age.
Yeah, when all else fails, they crank up the fear machine.
Our government has credible evidence.
Foreign terrorists found within our borders.
Terrorism, 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 terrorism.
Yeah, when all else fails, they crank up the fear machine.
Our government has credible evidence.
They are a piece of terrorism. Terrorists in the information age.
Yeah, when all else fails, they crank up the fear machine.
Our government has credible evidence.
Foreign terrorists found within our borders.
Terrorism, 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 terrorism.
But the outlook is
very, very grim.
Mike Stinson and Don Waller of TakeBackTheMedia.com with Fear Machine. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Cup of Joe radio show. I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, the voice of the working man, the voice of the radical middle, and the voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, let me remind you of the URL, cupojoe.blogspot.com, and the email address is joevec@bellsouth.net, and I always encourage my listeners and the readers of my blog to write to me and let me know what you think. Even if you're a winger, unless you're particularly abusive, I tend to allow people to say what they will, although it is my board, and if I really don't like what you have to say that badly, I will cut your ass. It's as simple as that. There's other forums out there where you can be heard much better than you can be heard on my blog. My hits are down a little bit because I haven't posted for a few days, and that's the thing about running a blog and doing all that, is that you really have to kind of keep up on it, post regularly, because otherwise people start to abandon it. And since I do want to be, I don't want to be, say, a major player, but I do want to be someone that people go to when they want to get some information. It is nice for me when I get more people listening, when I see that the hits are up. And I've been busy with personal stuff for the last few days, so I haven't been as active as I like to be in writing and posting on the board. I get into grooves like that. Sometimes I do a lot of writing. Sometimes I don't. Once again, let me thank the people who helped me out a lot. Take Back the Media people, in part because they send me some neat stuff every now and then. But mostly guys like AB, who just basically gave me a new computer. I mean, it's not a new computer. He didn't pay anything for it. His company was upgrading, and they were just going to throw this thing out anyway. This new thing is a wonder. It's got Windows XP on it, and I've even got it set up to look like my old Windows 98 because I just like the setup that way. But it runs so much better. Stats, somebody asked me for stats. It's 800 megahertz Pentium 3, real Pentium, not a Celeron, with 512 megabytes of RAM, and I plan on increasing that from time to time. You okay, honey? My wife is sleeping over there, and she just jumped. She has a tendency to do that. She'll get into a nightmare and just jump like, oh, my God. She kind of scared me there. She's taking a little nap. It's 9:30 on Sunday, and again, those of you listening on Rant Radio, this is a pre-recorded show. At any rate, AB got me this whole nice new setup, and I finally got it back to where I was. I got all my software reloaded, and it's just wonderful to have all this stuff working properly and not have a machine that's going to crash on you every 5 minutes or so. My old machine is sitting in the big room. When we get another hard drive for it, we're going to use that for my wife so she can get on Pogo.com. Pogo.com is really cool. But also, not just AB, but guys like Ben Birch, who go out of their way to put my archives on there. And I haven't heard from Ben in a while. I think he went up to the Republican convention, or maybe he's vacationing or something, but he hasn't emailed me, and he hasn't posted any of the newer shows. The last show up there is 53, and this is show number 58. So I called up the Mark and Daryl show, which is on Rant Radio before my show on Sundays, and they were saying, you number your shows? We just put the dates. And I said, well, numbering is just a way, you know, it's just a little easier for me. It really doesn't matter what date I put it out. It's just all good. It's just all good. And this is show number 58. And that means, I think this is like my 30th show on Rant Radio, because I think I started with number 28. Smokehouse, the big guy on Rant Radio, emailed me and said, what show was your first show? And I said, I think it was 28, which was the Space Ghost interview. So this makes like 30 shows I've done for Rant Radio alone, which is pretty good, which is actually more than half of the shows that I have now. And I switched out to the hour format for Rant Radio. I was doing a lot more than that. I had a lot more, and it's more difficult. You know, like I keep saying, if I had a partner, if I had somebody to talk to, the shows would go a lot easier for me. It can be very difficult at times for me to sit here and talk. And I deal with a lot of stress in my work, in my working life and in my personal life. My wife has been very sick, and you know, she's trying to get into some surgery that'll help her out. It's personal stuff, women's stuff, let's put it that way. And she needs some surgery, and you know, it's all taken care of through the Grady Healthcare System, which is an excellent system I don't care what anybody says about it. It has a bad rep here in Atlanta. But you know what? My wife has no money to deal with this. She does not. She is not covered by my health care, and they're basically just taking care of it. If she gets accepted for disability, that will take a lot of load off of me, because that means it's extra money coming in. We've been late on the rent because, God, I had that speeding ticket I had to pay, and that took a whole bunch of money out of my pocket. And then I had to buy new tires for the car because I had two flat tires in a week. And that's not good. I mean, I have to be able to drive back and forth to work. It's not a great car, but it's not a bad car, really. I paid $600 for it. And it runs very well when it does. It needs a tune-up. And that's, again, that's one of those things. And it all causes stress. It causes me to be frustrated because I'm always worried about, you know, things that I need to accomplish that I can't accomplish simply because I don't have the money for it. And, you know, you can make the case against frivolous things like that, but this is important stuff. Your ability to get back and forth to work. Now, we've got a three-day weekend this weekend. It's Labor Day weekend, and they'll give me a chance tomorrow to actually do some recording for a Thursday show. And I've been missing a couple of shows because of the personal issues and the stress at work. But I'm not the only one who's having stress at work, and I'm not the only one who it's causing health problems for. I have a stomach condition. Let's call it that to be nice. Partly because of the stress that I have that causes me to run to the bathroom every 20 minutes on some days. And it just makes it very difficult for me. I've had to take off of work a couple of days, as a matter of fact, because of it. But as I was saying, I'm not the only one. In the New York Times the other day, they had, today, there was an article called Always on the Job, Employees Pay with Health. It was by John Schwartz, and it was in the New York Times today. And let me read you some of what he had to say here. American workers are stressed out, and in an unforgiving economy, they are becoming more so every day. 62% say their workload has increased over the last 6 months. 53% say work leaves them overtired and overwhelmed. Now, I am fortunate in that I have a job that, while it can be stressful at times, mostly because of, as I mentioned in the last segment, what I see is incompetence and lack of efficiency, because I'm very big on issues like that, and it bothers me when things do not run efficiently. But we do have it a lot better than other people. I worked some overtime last week, but we're not required to work overtime. It's always voluntary. In fact, the new union contract, one of the things they were fighting to get was to make sure that we didn't have mandatory overtime. And it goes to show that we had a victory and that we didn't go backwards, that we didn't have a defeat. If you know what I mean, we didn't slide backwards. We stayed just about the same and improved only slightly. There wasn't that much of a pay raise, although there should have been more of a pay raise. But a lot of people are overwhelmed, and part of it is because we don't have – part of the reason why we're overwhelmed sometimes, and we are overwhelmed sometimes, is because we don't have enough people to do the job. So we wind up – you know, every person does a little bit more, and it seems to me – that the way the economy is right now, there are less and less people working. There's almost 2 million jobs that have been lost since Mr. Bush took office. And it seems to me that the people who are working even harder to basically cover for those who aren't there anymore. I was at Best Buy the other day, just hanging out. I'd actually gone to get a haircut in another place in the strip mall, and there was a Best Buy there. So I just thought I'd go in there and look around a little bit. Actually, I wanted to buy. I got a big paycheck for the overtime, and I wanted to buy my wife a present. She was so ill, so I bought her a DVD of a show called A Wolf's Reign, which she really likes. The first 5 episodes, which she has not seen. It's on Cartoon Network now. But anyway, I was in there, and I was looking at there were like six or seven cash registers, but there were only like 2 or 3 people working there. And the lines are longer, which makes it more stressful for the customers because you know you only got a couple items you want to be in and out. You know, some people take more time, and some people don't mind it as much as others do. But, you know, the people at work checking people out are stressed out. The people on the customers in the lines getting more stressed out. And it's getting like that because people are understaffed. And the people who are working a lot harder than they were previously. And that does take a toll on people's health. And in the long term, you know, they might save some money in the short term by having less workers, but in the long term, they wind up paying for it. According to the article, workplace stress costs the nation more than $300 billion each year in health care. Missed work and the stress reduction industry that has grown up to soothe workers and keep production high. $300 billion a year. That's almost as much as we spend on the military. That's nearly $1 billion a day that's costing private industry. And this was according to estimates of the American Institute of Stress in New York. And workers who report that they are stressed incur health care costs that are 46% higher, or an average of $600 more per person than other employees. And I've brought this up before about the whole production thing, and one of my right-wing detractors in the commentary saying, just shook, said, oh, you know, you don't have to, all the right-wing garbage. And I'm like, come on, man, you know. We have a lot of stress, and it's winding up costing us more in the long run. And he's saying how you shouldn't be bitching about, you know, the amount of work that you do. And I'm like, come on, man. Again, the question is, do you live to work or do you work to live? And most companies want you to live to work. They want you to have that same kind of desire and attitude about the job as they have. And the fact of the matter is, you're simply not going to have that. I mean, I'm there at my work to put in two screws here or two screws there or four screws here and four screws there. That's what I'm there to do. And I'll do that all day. And if I have to slow down to get parts and stuff like that, then I'll do what I have to do. But, you know, I'm not going to go all out and worry about the entire running up and operations of the plant. That's not my job. You know, it's really not even my job to go out and get the parts that I need. There's supposed to be people out there who are keeping an eye on things who say, oh, Joe's running low on screws, let's get him some more. Joe's running low on meter brackets, let's make sure he has more so that he doesn't have to stop. That's other people's jobs, man. And I don't mind doing it if I have to, but, you know, the point of the matter is I shouldn't have to. And again, $300 billion a year is what it's costing American business. And we talk about our European counterparts who get 4 to 6 weeks paid vacation a year, paid vacation, and who make enough money to be able to live comfortably. They don't have the stress that we have that they miss a couple of paychecks for whatever reason and, you know, they're going to lose their house and they're going to lose their apartment. I mean, that's a tremendous amount of stress to worry about that. And especially if you're a guy like me who doesn't generally get along with people very well. And I'm going to say that right off the bat, that I generally don't get along with people well. It's very stressful for me because, you know, so much depends on me keeping this job. And that's why, as I mentioned in the last segment, I'm talking about trying to go into business for myself. I think I'm smart enough. I think I'm skilled enough. I certainly have the management skills that are necessary, and especially so if I get to hire my own people, which is what I would get to do in this situation, because I think I've got a very good eye for people, and I know who can be trustworthy. And as a manager, I would want to make the workplace as comfortable a place as possible for my employees, without neglecting the customers. I mean, if you're running a retail-type operation, you have to make sure that the customer's needs come first, but you still have to take care of your employees. And I would give them as much, you know, as much time and be flexible with their schedules as much as possible, you know, and work with them on that so that they would be a lot more stress-free. And I don't understand why other companies don't do that either. Even, you know, even in smaller companies, there still can be a very stressful environment. But this is an issue according to, American workers aren't the only ones grappling with escalating stress and even greater job demands. The European companies are changing once generous vacation policies, and stress-related illnesses cost England 13 million working days each year, British health officials said. You know, so the Europeans are starting to come to where we are, but they're still a lot better off. And we used to talk about how the Japanese were overworked. We're working far harder than the Japanese were in like the 80s or so. And the Japanese had a lot more job security. Nowadays, everybody's so insecure with their jobs, it makes it very, very difficult. One in every four workers in the United States is in some non-traditional employment relationship. That is, they've gotten out of the traditional 9-to-5 working relationship. 4 out of 10 Americans now work mostly at non-standard time. And I'm one of those. I work from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. But you know what? I like those hours. I happen to like those hours because I'm a late-night person anyway. and I prefer being up late, which means if I'm working 3 to 11, by the time I get home in about 2 or 3 hours, I'm ready to sleep, and then I get up early enough so that I have time before I go to work to chill out and, you know, just get myself ready. I mean, read my sites, maybe post something if I have time, or take care of some business, whatever, you know. It makes it a lot easier for me. And so I don't really mind that much. But there are some people who that would bother. If you have kids that you're taking care of, a 3 to 11 shift would be a very difficult shift to handle, because that's basically when your kids are home. If they're coming home from school, from they'll be home a little bit after 3. In most cases, around 3 o'clock is closing time for schools, for the students anyway. And, and then by the time you get home, the kids are asleep. And you don't even necessarily get to see them in the morning unless you want to wake up that early. And some people have that ability to just fall asleep as soon as they get home from work. I don't, be up all day. Are you more stressed out than you were last year or when George Bush took over? Write to me and let me know if you're more stressed out on the job, if things are better for you or worse for you than they were 4 years ago. And let me know, because I really think that a lot of people are feeling it right now. And a lot of it has to do with a lack of security on the job and with being demanded to do more and more things and getting less and less in return, because the money's not coming up. They make, some of my right-wing friends made a big deal about the $300 check that they got from the IRS. But you know what? As I keep saying, that wasn't a rebate. That was just an advance on your next year's taxes. If you looked at the taxes that came out next year, you had to make sure that that income was declared and part of it, so that you really didn't get that in that sense. You just got an advance. You had to take that out of money you got back later on. And there's a guy at work who I saw him talking about, how if Kerry gets in, he's just going to raise his taxes and take away your guns. And I just wanted to go up to him and say, why don't you grow the fuck up? Why don't you just grow up? They look at you. If I had a pair of scissors, I could cut the strings above you and show you what a puppet you are. You're being led around by these people who are just going to make a profit off of your hard work. And you just want to go up there and just want to pound on their head. Hello, McFly, wake up. God almighty. And, it's just one Republican talking point after another, tax raising, flip flopping guy from Massachusetts who lied about his war record. And I just found out today from Digby, Digby's blog.com, that they're going to investigate Kerry's medals to see if he really deserved them. Can you believe this shit? They'll launch an investigation into that. The Navy will launch an investigation into that. While the military won't investigate what really happened in Abu Ghraib? What, are you fucking kidding me? And it just goes to show, like I've been saying for a while, that there are no depths that these people will sink to. There are absolutely none. This is outrageous. And the American professional media is sitting there gobbling it up. What the fuck has gone wrong with this country? What the fuck is wrong with this country? Unbelievable. And people are getting more and more stressed out at work. And if Bush gets another 4 years, you know what? And that's the way it's increasingly looking. I'm sorry to be skeptical about it. And I'm not saying anything bad about Kerry, because he's got such an uphill fucking battle. The swift vote liars are just that, liars. But they get a lot of press play because the media will gladly repeat any Republican talking points. And a lot of us in the Democratic end of it, we don't have the heart to go after it that strongly. We're not that nasty, despite what some of you might say, all the people who call us Bush haters. We're not Bush haters, not on a personal level. We just want him out of the office to quit fucking with our lives. How difficult is that to understand? Apparently too difficult for some people. And we're all getting more and more stressed out. And if Bush gets in for another 4 years, like I was saying, then we're going to get even worse. By 2008... things will be so bad, we might even be ready for an actual fucking revolution. Maybe not. I don't know. People get stressed out. And, of course, the difference between us and them is that they never have to worry about, things like paying rent or where their next meal is coming from. And people can be put in horrendous situations. But, I think eventually we'll overcome this. I mean, we're going to go through some hard times. But eventually the pendulum is going to swing back in the other direction, because, things were far worse for the American worker 100 years ago. I've said this before, and I will say it again. You know, we're just having to relearn what we learned before. They've already begun the first steps of trying to take shit away. They've taken away, for some people, they've taken away their overtime. I'm sure they're not going to do everything right away, but they just passed that law that changes the way overtime law is determined, or by who gets overtime is determined. And you know that things like child labor laws, minimum wage laws, you know that those are on the horizon. And minimum work week laws, too, you know. I mean, never mind no overtime. They might decide to say, well, 50 hours a week will be the normal work week, or 50 hours a week, 10 hours a day. Is that what you want? Is that what this country wants? God, I hope not. So depressing. Play us out, Sam.
The Cup of Joe Radio Show will be right back.
Welcome to Election Night Special. There's tremendous excitement here at the moment as we should be getting the first results through any moment now. We're not quite sure where it'll be from. It might be from Leicester or from West Byfleet. The polling's been quite heavy in both areas. Oh, and I'm just getting a buzzing noise in my left ear. And now let's go straight over to Leicester.
And it's a straight fight here at Leicester, and we're expecting the result any moment now. There with the returning officer is Arthur Smith, the sensible candidate, and next to him is Jethro Q. Walrus Titty, the silly candidate with his agent and his silly wife.
Here is the result for Leicester. Arthur J. Smith.
Sensible party.
30,612. Jethro Q. Bun Wacket Buzzard Stubble and Boot Walrus Titty.
Silly party.
33,108.
Well, there you have it, the first result of the election there, and the silly party have held Leicester Norman.
Well, pretty much as I predicted, except that the silly party won. I think this is largely due to the number of votes cast,
quite,
Gerald.
Quite.
Well, there's a big swing here to the silly party, but how big a swing, I'm not going to tell you.
I think one should point out here that in this constituency, since the last election, a lot of very silly people have moved into new housing estates, with the result that a lot of sensible voters have moved further down the road, the other side of number 29.
Well, I can't add anything to that, Colin.
Can I just say this is the first time I've been on television?
No, I'm sorry, there isn't time. We're just going straight over to Luton.
Well, here at Luton, it's a three-cornered contest between, from left to right, Alan Jones, sensible party, Tarquin Fintim Limbim, Limbim Bim Bim Bim, Bus Stop for Tang Olay Biscuit Barrel, Silly Party, and Kevin Phillips Bong, who is running on the slightly silly ticket. And here's the result.
Alan Jones.
Sensible.
9,112. Kevin Phillips Bong.
Slightly silly.
Not. Tarquin, Vintin, Linbin, Wimbim, Limbim, Bus Stop, Fatang, Fatang, Olay, Biscuit Barrel.
Silly.
12,441.
Well, there you have it, the first result of the election there as the silly party take Luton Norman.
Well, this is a very significant result. Luton, normally a very sensible constituency with a high proportion of people who aren't a bit silly, has gone completely gaga.
And we just heard that James Gilbert has with him the winning silly candidate at Luton.
Tarquin, are you pleased with this result?
Oh, yes, me old beauty, I should say so.
Do we have the swing at Luton?
No.
Right, well, I can't add anything to that, Colin.
Can I just say that this is the second time I've been on television?
No, I'm sorry, there isn't time. We're just about to get another result.
And this one is from Harpenden South East. A very interesting constituency, this. In addition to the official silly candidate, there is an unofficial, very silly candidate in the slab of concrete. And he could well split the silly vote here at Harpenden South East.
This is Elsie Zip.
Silly.
26,317. Jeanette Walker.
Sensible.
26,318.
That was very close.
Malcolm Peter Brown Telescope Adrian Blackpool Rock Stoat Gobbler John Raw Vegetable Norman Michael Edward Jupiter Thomas Moo will give a welcome in the William Raindrops keep falling on my Don't sleep in the subway Smith.
Very silly.
Two.
Well, there you have it. A sensible gain there at Harpenden with the city vote being split.
And we've just heard from Luton that Tony Stratton Smith has with him there the unsuccessful, slightly silly candidate, Kevin Phillips Bong.
Tell him, Phillips Bong. You polled no votes at all. Not a sausage. Bugger all. Are you at all disappointed with this performance?
Not at all. As I always say, climb every mountain, ford every stream, follow every byway, till you find your dream. A dream that will last. All the love you can give, every day of your life, for as long as you live.
All together!
Climb every mountain.
A very brave Kevin Phillips Bong there. Norman!
And,
shut up.
Can I just say, I've just heard from Luton that my aunt is ill. Possibly gastroenteritis, possibly just catarrh. Gerald.
Right, Colin?
Can I just say he'll never appear on television again?
No, I'm sorry, there isn't time, because we have to bring up a few results you may have missed. A little pink pussycat has taken Barrow in Furness. That's a gain from the Liberals there. Rastus Odinga Oginga has taken Wolverhampton Southwest. That's Sir Enoch Powell's old constituency. An important gain there for Darkie Power. Arthur Negus has held Bristol. That's not a result, that's just a bit of gossip. Sir Alec Douglas Hume has taken Oldham for the Stone Dead Party. And a small piece of putty about that big, a cheese mechanic from Dunbar, and two frogs, one called Kipper and the other one not, have all gone in Blackpool Central. And so it's beginning to look like a silly landslide when the prospect of 5 more years of silly government facing us. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm bored.
Monty Python, the election night special. And we wonder sometimes which of our two parties is the silly party. Certainly none of them are the sensible party, that's for sure. They're both silly parties in their own different ways. The Democrats are just silly and ineffective, and the Republicans are silly and dangerous. It's a sad state of affairs, but at least we can have a good laugh about it before everything goes to hell. Hi, and welcome back to the Cup of Joe radio show. I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, the voice of the working man, the voice of the radical middle, and the voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, let me remind you of the URL, which is cupojoe.blogspot.com, and the email address, which is joevec@bellsouth.net. And again, I always advise everybody to write to me, email me, comment on the blog, say something, let your feelings be known, because that makes it a little better for everybody around. I mean, this way, you know, we have a little give and take there on the board. If I could take phone calls, I might, but you know something, I really don't have the desire to fight with the freepers all the time, which is I know what happened. I couldn't take phone calls anyway at this point because I don't do this live. So no, since nobody knows when I'm going to record this, there's no possible way they can call, is there? So, you know, whatever. We'll deal with situations as they go along. If I get picked up by a regular radio station, Air America Radio, hello. there's weekend spots you have that I would be perfect for. But if that ever happens and the capabilities arise for me to take phone calls, we'll deal with that as it comes. So maybe I'll just have some really good call screeners or just call people up who I fucking want to talk to. It's my fucking show, damn it. It's my show. Anyway. Oh, before I do anything else, let me say that my prayers are with, for what they're worth, my prayers are with the people in Florida right now going through yet another nasty hurricane. What was this one, the size of Texas? Jesus Christ, what a big-ass storm. And I got a few friends down there, and I got family down there. But even if I didn't, I would hope that, you know, as few people get hurt or displaced by this natural disaster. You would think, though, that three nasty hurricanes in a row slamming into Florida would be some sort of an omen, don't you think? It's like I found out today that while they were filming The Passion of the Christ, the guy who was playing Jesus, while he was up on the crucifix, was struck by lightning. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Wouldn't some people consider that an omen? I don't believe in such things, but there you have it. I'm going to talk about something real quick because I only have about a few more minutes left. What do we got? About 8 or so minutes left before I gotta put an end to this. But there was something that came out, something that Digby had said on Digby's blog.com called Miss Overinterpretation. And he talked about how it may be time to go with the mud because Bush's poll ratings in certain polls went through the roof after the convention. He now supposedly has an 11-12 point lead over Kerry, and he was worried that the crux of Digby's point was that he was worried that we were going to panic and take it as a sign that we've already lost. Frankly, I think we're going to lose anyway. Not because of any failings of the Kerry campaign, because quite frankly, I think the Kerry campaign is doing pretty damn good right now. And the reason why they don't have a 20 or so point lead is simply because they are fighting such a huge uphill battle. Any of the Democratic contenders, whether it was Dean or Clark, any of them would have been facing a similar barrage of attacks. You know, somebody, I think in fact it was Digsby that pointed out that the Americans like the perception of toughness more than they like actual toughness. In other words, they prefer John Wayne to Audie Murphy, if you know what I mean. Audie Murphy was a real war hero. John Wayne was a fake war hero. But more people know about John Wayne than have ever heard of Audie Murphy, although some of you older people remember at least your parents talking about Audie Murphy. You know, and that's why a guy like Bush, who at best, you know, just found a nice cheesy little way to get out of doing his duty for the country. And that's the nicest thing I can say about it. The worst thing I can say about it is that he was a deserter because he didn't even attend a lot of the guard functions he was supposed to attend. How he gets capitulated into the role of hero, and Kerry, who won 3 Purple Hearts, Silver Star, and a Bronze Star, you know, is having his courage questioned. And the reason that's happening in part is because the press is on Bush's side. Because they're not reporting the facts. They're just doing this kind of gossip thing. And they really don't care because they're making plenty of money. You think Chris Matthews has to worry about whether or not he's going to be able to make the rent next week? No, he doesn't. Not the slightest little fucking bit does he have to worry about that shit. Not at all. So, you know, it's just the way things are going right now. And Digsby was worried that we were going to go into real panic mode and start, you know, pulling all the levers and pulling out all the stops and stuff like that. And he's like, relax, let's see what happens. You know, we've still got a little time left here before, you know, we've got, what, over 2 months left before the election. So you knew he was going to get a bounce, and it was a very late convention so that they could take advantage of Ground Zero as much as possible. And there were some great political cartoons, by the way. Jeff Dazinger had a really great one where they had the World Trade Center site. And it had signs on it that said property of the Republican Party. And they're just using that. And that was the basis of the whole fucking convention that they had. 9-11, 9-11, 9-11, 9-11. Kerry sucks. 9-11, 9-11. You know, God almighty. And people buy that shit, you know. Americans are gullible like that. They'll buy the pretense of something rather than the reality of something. That's why they'll sit there and pretend that waving a flag is more more patriotic than actually paying attention to the Constitution, which is the basis for all of our law. You know, and then they'll just be led around by the nose by people who are just using them, and that's the way they like it. That's the way it is, and they like it. And those are just things that we're going to have to accept. And the people who are supposedly the undecideds right now, there should be no indecision. I mean, Bush is always going to have his hardcore supporters, just like the Democrats are always going to have their hardcore supporters. But I don't understand how these people in the middle can sit there and not make a clear distinction between these two candidates. But there you have it. That's the way it is. You know, and it's something that we're just going to have to learn to live with. And Digsby was pointing out that maybe we should just, you know, go ahead and make sure that we get in some low blows. Maybe people will like that, you know. But it's a double standard for us. It just makes it more and more difficult. And I really think things have to get really, 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 really bad before they get any better. And I mean really bad. I mean, you know, rioting in the streets bad before they get any better. And I want to point out that all the rights that we have as working people, the rights that we take for granted, the overtime, the 40 hours a week, minimum wage, overtime, child labor laws, worker safety laws, all of that stuff that we just take for granted was fought for. People spilled blood for that. People died for that. It came partly because of rational negotiation, yes, and with working within the political system, yes, but it was also part rioting in the streets. You know, people who have power are not going to give it up willingly, and they're not going to give it up without a fight. And they've got a lot of power now. They don't have as much as they used to have. They're working towards that. They wanted to go back to that. And if we allow them to, they'll get back to that. But they won't give things up easily. And if we want to take it back from them, we're going to have to expect to get down in the mud and do some brawling. And we don't have the stomach for that just yet. Just yet. But mark my words, another few more years of this bullshit and we'll be ready for it. Because Iraq is just step one. They're already starting to bang the war drums on Iran. And as I've said before, if you think Iraq was a cakewalk, and it's no cakewalk, Iran is going to be pure hell because five times more people live in Iran. And they will really, really resent being invaded by us for no reason. Anyway, that's about all for me for the show this week. Again, it is Sunday, September 5th. This is show number 58, and I am Joe Vecchio, and this is the Cup of Joe radio show. And again, my URL is cupojoe.blogspot.com. My email address is joevec@bellsouth.net. Once again, I urge every one of you to write me, post a comment on the board, you know, make it a little bit more interactive. Let's do some things together. It makes it a much better show. And if you've got an idea for something that you want me to talk about on the show, put it up in the comments or email me, and I'll look at it, and I'll try to devote some time to it. But I want to thank everybody at rantradio.com. I want to thank Ben Birch for hosting my archives over at the White Rose Society. Ben, if you're listening, I hope you're doing all right. I haven't heard from you in a while, and I'd very much like to find out if things are going well for you. And again, my thanks to AB, my good friend AB, for the wonderful new computer, to everybody who donated some money to the site in little dribbles here and there, enough for me to get the new mixer, and I hope everything sounds a little better. Mainly, I got the mixer in order to put more microphones in so I can have guests in the studio. I hope to have some people on the show, a couple of phone interviews in the coming shows. I won't say who until I get things settled, but we'll see. Anyway, this is Joe Vecchio from the Cup of Joe show signing off. Until next time, bye. Joe Vecchio, the host of the Cup of Joe radio show, is proud to be a member of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 2127. However, the views of Joe Vecchio do not necessarily represent the views of Local 2127, the IBEW, or its affiliate, the AFL-CIO. Please remember to support your working brothers and sisters and help keep the American dream alive. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been a production of Jove Enterprises, Incorporated.